I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doctor. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Yes, and we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We are also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. I just love doing that. It just makes me happy. All right, speaking of things that make me happy, something happened this week that you probably, if you went to the website, and the website, of course, being drbill.tv, drbill.tv, I can spell it there on the screen better than I can say it, apparently. Anyway, drbill.tv. The DR and the Bill are joined together as one word with no dot, lest you get confused. At any rate, we, if you went to that website, you'll probably go, what? What? Because we have completely changed it up. Now, there's a reason for this change, and it's because we're moving on down the road in terms of internet activity. There are more people surfing the web via phone, which I actually have in my pocket. My phone. More people are surfing the web with their phone or more mobile device or tablet. You know, there's times I think I just need to trade my tongue in. Really, Fred? Yes. Well, you're probably right on that. But at any rate, here's the thing. I'll try to make my tongue cooperate for the rest of the netcast. YouTube is embracing HTML5. Now, I was going to mention before I got distracted about my tongue that the website changed for a reason, and that is to be a responsive website. Now, you say, what's a responsive website? Well, a responsive website is a website that no matter what device you look at it upon, you will see a pleasant experience. There won't be any of the shifting back and forth. And why can't the website look like it's supposed to? On a phone, it looks like a long, skinny website that you have to keep, you know, scrolling down to see what's going on. Or on a tablet, turned sideways, it has a nice wide screen look. And on a computer, it looks like a website. So there you go. Ta-da. So the website is similar. There are similarities to the old website, but we've cleaned it up quite a bit. It's less cluttered. It's more clean, and it has that broader, larger type look that seems to be all the rage on the web these days. Okay? Yes. So anyway, go back to the article. YouTube embraces HTML5. Now, as you may know, I'm a big fan of HTML5 and WebM video. Matter of fact, I was kind of an early adopter in that regard. And the Dr. Bill website, all of our videos there are in WebM type video as their, you might say, primary method. If failing WebM, if you don't have WebM capability, in other words, if you don't have a good browser, a really sorry browser like Internet Explorer, for instance, then you're going to get the M4V version of the video, but you'll still see it. We have kind of optimized our site so that even poor, you know, downtrodden masses that have Internet Explorer will still be able to use our website. We're just nice that way. Now, we do encourage you to step on up to the big time, to that deluxe apartment in the sky. So to speak, of using Google Chrome, which is, of course, the best web browser, bar none. Although Mozilla Firefox is pretty doggone good. It was my choice before Chrome came along. So either one of those is good. Anyway, Ron Amadio in Ars Technica says, everyone hates Flash, right? You have to install a plugin, it's resource intensive, it doesn't work on mobile, causes all sorts of security problems. Well, YouTube's been working on ridding itself of Adobe's ancient web plugin for several years now. And while the whole site has been slowly transitioning away from Flash, today, this was on January 28th, YouTube announced it will finally serve HTML5 video as a default. Users of Chrome, IE 11, Safari 8, and beta versions of Firefox will all have a flashless experience, which is cool. I'm down with that. So if you don't have a good browser, get a good browser, please. All us web folk that design websites will be much happier. Okay, there's a cool new version of LibreOffice out there. Brand spanking new version, 4.4. Our old buddy, good old Stephen J. Vaughn Nichols, my buddy. He's my buddy because he's such a Linux guy, and I really like reading his articles. He says, who says you can't have fast, good, and cheap? The Document Foundation's latest release of the most popular open source office suite, LibreOffice 4.4, is quite fast on Linux, Mac OS X, and Windows. It works well on all three desktops. That is desktop operating systems, and it won't cost you a penny. It's completely free because it's open source, which is good. Jan Kitty Kulchowski, the leader of the design team, explained in a statement that LibreOffice 4.4's new beauty comes from redesigned menu bars, context menus, toolbars, status bars, and rulers to make them more useful. Well, I'm all for that. Just don't confuse me when you change things. You know, I'm easily confused. And actually, that is a similar comment that I got from my wife. She said, don't give me different ways to do things. Let me do it the way I've always done it. And she's a longtime LibreOffice user. So pay attention, Document Foundation. Okay. Kickstarter. Now, you know, there's been some strange things on Kickstarter. For instance, the guy that wanted to make a peanut, that's completely wrong, a potato salad, peanut, what did that have to do with the potato salad? Anyway, potato salad, and so he got like $10,000 from people that wanted him to have successful potato salad. Well, good for him, okay? It's one of those, wish I'd have thought of that, things. But at any rate, this one, though, is bizarre. Exploding kittens. Now, these are not literal exploding kittens. That would be bad. No, these are silly, fun exploding kittens that are actually a new card game. Okay? And so these three guys got together and said, I know what. Let's go ahead and put it on Kickstarter and get $10,000 to start their new game. So they put it on Kickstarter. And everybody got so excited about the game, they started contributing toward it, and they now have $5 million. And the headline here says, Exploding Kittens Kickstarter shatters backer records, now 46,000% funded. That was back when it was 4.6 million. Yes. I'm for that. Sure, you need $5 million for a card game using very expensive paper, I guess. Anyway, it says here, this is an article by Tech Times by Steven Schneider. He says, Kickstarter has proven that anyone with a good idea can get the funding they need for their dream or their potato salad. He remembers that as well. Yes, there are stories of projects going unfunded due to lack of coverage, but there are far more tales of success than failure. Of course, there are varying levels of success. Some projects just barely make their funding goal by the time the deadline passes, while others see success within minutes. One such project is the Exploding Kittens Kickstarter, a card game by the creator of the Oatmeal webcomic. The project was funded within minutes of going public, and subsequently raised over $1 million in less than an hour. Think about it. You post something, and an hour later, you got $1 million. Dude, I need to come up with a really cool Kickstarter that gets everybody's attention. Know what I mean? Yeesh. Anyway, you should click on the Kickstarter site and watch the video. It's quite bizarre. Exploding kittens. Anyway, whoa! Yes, Fred, you're right. It is time for the Geek Software of the Week. Geek Software of the Week this week is something you already have installed on your computer. Da-dum! How is that possible, you say, Dr. Bill? How can you have a Geek Software of the Week that's already installed on my computer? Did you sneak it there in the middle of the night? No. It sounds like a fun idea, but no. This is actually something built into Windows itself. It's called MSConfig or MsConfig. No, it's MSConfig for Microsoft Config. It is the system configuration tool. Now you may say, Dr. Bill, you're cheating. You should be telling us about Geek Software of the Week, not some built-in program in Windows. Well, maybe so. But the point is, not too many people know about MSConfig. They don't know about its benefits. Now see, as usual, most of my Geek Software of the Weeks come about by the fact that I have various computer issues that I have to deal with day in and day out as people bring me computers and things happen and so forth. And so this was a situation where my wife's computer died. Okay. And so I had to put her hard drive in another computer, which is perfectly okay, except for two things. Two things will happen. One is the version of Windows on the hard drive will look at your new computer and go, wait a minute, time out here. This computer is completely different than the one I was installed on, so you're going to have to renew your Windows license. So, not a big deal. I just put in the number and let it do its thing and contact Microsoft, and Microsoft goes, okie doke. Okay, so that was done. But the other weird thing is the computer that had died was a Dell. And it had a Dell startup utility thingy that was starting in the tray. And of course, it's not a Dell anymore, so it's completely useless. So I said to myself, I said to myself, I'll use MSConfig. So I went into MSConfig and I clicked on the startup tab, which is the 1, 2, 3, 4th tab over. And I went into that and I found the Dell config and I unclicked the little radio button doohickey or whatever, and then I rebooted the computer and the Dell config utility no longer comes up. Of course, I also went and deleted the Dell directory just to be clean. I like getting rid of things cleanly. Now, you might say to yourself, well, Dr. Bill, why didn't you just uninstall it? It wasn't that kind of utility. It was just this little slim thing that came up at startup. So that way I was able to get rid of the, Dellware, shall we call it, on the computer. And her computer is doing fine now. So, happy ending to the story. But this is a good illustration of how you can use these kinds of tools to fix things rather than going out and buying a new computer. Which I considered because I like buying new computers. But it costs money. See, that's the problem. That's the fly in the ointment, so to speak. Although there was no fly and there was no ointment. It's a saying. Anyway, next item, old drop cams will die soon. There goes my phone dingling again. I forgot to turn it off. I should do that before shows start. We'll just hope that it just dingles and doesn't ring. Don't mind the occasional la. That's okay. Anyway, old drop cams will die soon. This is if you bought a drop cam, boy, back in 2009, then they will stop working. That's the bad news. The good news is that drop cam will replace it for free if you have one of these older cameras, okay? So we're talking about the older models, the original DropCam and the DropCam Echo, will stop working on April 15th, 2015, in order to celebrate the day that we all have to pay taxes. No, that's not the reason. It's a coincidence, but it is an opportunity to mention that if you have not yet planned on doing your taxes, it is inevitable. Okay. Anyway, April 15th, 2015, both of those older versions of the DropCam will just die. Why, you ask? Well, the company doesn't say much about that, except that the cameras no longer provide an experience that meets their standards. The original DropCam had a 320 by 240 resolution and did not record audio, so they basically just didn't want to admit it was their camera anymore. Okay? So, you'll get an HD DropCam for free if you were an owner of those DropCams. So, hopefully you registered them, they're in your name, you can get the free HD DropCam. Okay. Amazon Echo, which is an interesting thing. Amazon released kind of a Siri in a box. That's what people are calling it, Siri in a box. But we actually have one ordered. It's supposed to come in the summer. It's a long ways off, July, that we're supposed to finally get one. When we do, I'll give you a demo. But in the meantime, I just have to, you know, drool all over it. So I have a picture, you know, over here. You can see it. And you can drool too if you want. All right. Don't. Doesn't matter to me. Anyway, it's getting a new firmware update that will add some new features. They're getting Pandora, iTunes, and Spotify voice control as part of Amazon Echo. I think it's interesting that it's called Amazon Echo, yet the voice name is Alexa. So you say, hey Alexa, when is Memorial Day? I don't know, something, and it will tell you the answer. Which is good, because I don't know when these things are either. So it's a good thing that I have something to ask come summertime. I'll say, hey Alexa, what day is July the 4th on? And she'll go, what a maroon. No, you'd probably go July 4th. Yee. Okay. I'm joking. Anyway. Last item, a web tool to create GIFs. Now, what, as I've said before, GIF is pronounced GIF, not GIF. I know a lot of people think that they're being really smart by trying to say GIF. But GIF is GIF. The creator himself said, yes, GIF is a GIF. It's not a GIF. And the creator should know. The creator should know. Anyway, a CNET article by Nicole Cosma says, if a large portion of your internet time is looking at GIFs, then you may have looked for a decent GIF creator to make your own. However, many of the free options only let you upload pictures. They don't allow any trimming or pasting of the watermark all over the... They also paste their watermark all over the finished product. As an alternative, Imgur has unveiled its own GIF creator, and I have a link there in the article. This tool is for those who want to capture just the right moments, loop them, and then share on Imgur for the masses to see. So if you have a cute kitty photo, oh, cute little kitty, then share it with the world. I mean, that's what the internet is for, is kitty videos and GIFs of kitties. Because kitties rule. Well, they do. And they let you know that, too, as a matter of fact. My kitty tells me all the time, what are you doing in my house? No, my kitty loves me. She's sweet. Very sweet kitty. See picture. You knew I had to share the picture, right? Okay. Anyway, that's about it for this week. Join us again next time. Remember until then that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.